All right, everybody, welcome to this very special bonus episode, and today we are celebrating not only golf, but one of our favorite fandoms, which is Star Wars.
Do you like Star Wars?
I like Star Wars.
Me
Do you
too.
Like me too?
You know what that's from?
No.
Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
When Sheldon finally meets James Earl Jones.
Uh-huh. Would you like to know something really interesting about that episode? This is a fun Star Wars fact. That is the first time that James Earl Jones and Carrie Fisher met.
Oh, yeah, because he was just the voice. He was never on set.
He was never on
Makes
set.
Makes sense.
All right, in honor of Star Wars Day, we have a lot of Star Wars-themed things that we're going to talk about, and we're going to start with the new tablecloth on the recording studio very quickly. It is lovely. It is also Star Wars-themed. It has what look like schematics of various Star Wars vehicles. And here's a quick question for...
Blueprints.
They look like blueprints or schematics. And it's very cool. So looking at the vehicles for sale on the table here, Eric, this is what we were talking about. You got to choose one of these as your daily driver.
Oh, Imperial Star Destroyer all the way.
Okay, he's going Imperial Star Destroyer.
The interior of those are so clean and beautiful. You can live on that. Like, it would be everything that you would need.
As your daily driver, you're going into work, you're coming back. Like, you live where you work, if that's the case.
Okay, well, if we're talking about, like, pure transportation to get to and from work, I don't know if they have it on here, but the Mandalorian, their spaceship, whatever it's called, the Mandalorian...
The Razor Crest?
No, the cruisers that they have. Like, their starfighter, basically.
Oh, the Naboo starfighter?
No, but the Mandalorian...
Oh, you're talking about the Mandalorian starfighters.
Yes.
Yeah, those things are beautiful.
I would take that.
So
they're not on the tablecloth, but we'll allow it.
I told John...
I don't know what is and what isn't. There's a lot of vehicles.
There are. And there's somewhat of a repeating pattern. I told John Paul in looking at this earlier that I would love to fly an A-Wing. It wouldn't be my daily driver. That's the hot rod because they are fast. But if I was having like my daily commuter vehicle... It's really hard for me to pass up the Millennium Falcon because you could fly in that, but then you also have like lounge and relax in the back place.
And you gave me guff for taking the Star Destroyer.
Well, but the Star Destroyer, you're living on that with a crew of like 200 plus people.
You don't have to. They have smaller ones.
I'm pretty sure the base Star Destroyer.
Vader has a small one that has a very limited crew.
Yeah,
challenge.
But those are...
Challenge.
Those are... No. Vader's Star Destroyer is bigger than a standard Star Destroyer, not smaller.
Because you have the Star Destroyer, then you have Super Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any other class.
You have Carillion Heavy Cruisers, these are Carillion Heavy Cruisers. You have Carillion Light Cruisers, but Vader never traveled on one of those.
This is the Devastator.
And which is way bigger than a standard Imperial Star Destroyer.
But it's also very beautiful.
Okay, I am going to go with a really, really controversial pick here, just to be controversial, because I love the A-Wing. The A-Wing has always been my favorite, but you can't use it as a daily driver.
I'm just picking in my head, you now going to work in a chicken walker?
No, it's not a chicken walker. You ready? It's more maligned than that. It's possibly the most maligned of all Star Wars craft. I'm going with the much maligned, but underrated B-Wing.
Oh,
I actually enjoy the B-Wing, and I remember hating the B-Wing when I was a child, and it grew on me, and there's a fantastic episode of Rebels where the B-Wing is tested for the first time, and it gave me a whole new appreciation for the B-Wing. B-Wings are awesome. I like B-Wings.
How do you feel about the Y-Wing?
The Y-Wing is great in our Space Toys game. It's a fabulous heavy bomber, and I loved it when I was a kid.
How do you feel about the Y-Wing, Eric?
I don't know. It to me, it's kind of like the Buick that's like driving a boat, you know?
Park Ave.
Yeah.
It's the Rebel Park Avenue.
Yeah, it's just...
It's not a jet fighter like an X-Wing or an A-Wing, but it's not a bomber like a K-Wing or a B-Wing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of just there.
Do we need to give the story behind the Space Toys thing? Because... Cody and Eric and I, for a while, were playing a game called X-Wing, which is
X-Wing Miniatures. Yep.
X-Wing Miniatures. It's a fabulous tabletop game. If you haven't played it and you're a huge Star Wars fan, I highly recommend it just to Google the ships. I mean, it's fantastic. However, when we would get together to play it, my wife, very annoyingly, would say, "Oh, are you boys getting together to play space toys?" And I'd be like,
"All the
excuse
ladies
me, it is a highly advanced tactical simulation." They're like, "Yeah, yeah, have fun with your space toys." So we call it space toys now.
Okay, can I?
Is your wife from like Valley High? Can we go to Sephora?
Can we go to Sephora? Are you having fun with your space toys?
Can I change to the Star Destroyer thing that the Mandalorians took over in the Mandalorian show?
That would be a Carillion sure. heavy cruiser or a Carillion light cruiser, excuse me.
Yeah,
Carillion light that cruiser.
One. That was a sweet one.
The TIE Interceptor is a strong one too. I love TIE Interceptors, but I have to have something that's Rebel based.
AT-AT or AT-ST?
AT-AT. All yeah. day.
Yeah, the other one's just too unstable.
I actually kind of like the AT-ATs from, and again, a controversial pick, but I like the ones from The Last Jedi. They look mean.
Yeah, they do.
More! Oh, yeah, you have like the
yeah, they kind of haunch knuckles. Down.
Yeah,
they look
it's more
mean.
Like a gorilla
like
kind
them.
Of thing.
I like that.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I recently returned from Disneyland, and while I was there, I was in line for Rise of the Resistance, and there was a guy in front of me, and I was wearing my Mizuno hat, and he was dressed up, you know, people dress up in Disneyland all the time, so I didn't think anything of it.
Dressed up like what?
Just in the character, you know.
Oh, okay.
And so he turned to me, and he noticed my hat, and he was like, "Oh, do you golf?" We talked a little bit, and I had my lapel mics just in case we needed to do a call. And so I did a little interview with him. He had some feedback for us on how he thinks we could improve our game. So here we go.
All right.
All right. I'm excited to hear this.
I sense a great disturbance in the course, a lack of focus, a weakness in your swings. You stand here clutching your flimsy clubs, your eyes glazed over like you've just stared into the twin suns. Pathetic. You slice your drives like a rebel scum fleeing a Star Destroyer. Your putts wander aimlessly. Lost in the green like a droid in the Jundland wastes. Your sand traps, they are a testament to your utter lack of precision. But despair not, for even in the darkest corners of the galaxy there is potential. You have the tools. These primitive sticks can be instruments of power if wielded with conviction. Forget your anxieties. Forget your bogeys and double bogeys. They are the phantom menace of your golfing existence. Embrace the force. Embrace the swing. Feel the connection between yourself and the club. Let your anger, your determination, guide your shot. Each swing is a chance to crush the rebellion within you, the doubt, the hesitation, the fear of looking foolish. Unleash your inner Sith, Lord of the short game. Dominate the fairway. Conquer the green. You will not shank another shot. You will not three put. You will make par. Do not fail again. Now go forth. Let your heart be your guide. And may the course be with you.
I am feeling very mixed right now.
See, I'm too happy to be offended.
I cannot join the Empire. It is not in me.
I just thought it was a great way to start the Sith episode.
That's so good.
That was fantastic. That was really good. You got me.
That was good.
I thought you legit were recording with somebody in front of you in line somewhere. And I'm like, who would you have run into that you could interview about golf? And so I was super interested. You got me.
The Rise of the Resistance is the single coolest toy on planet Earth. It makes me so happy every time I get to ride it.
You want to know a fun fact about that ride? I have never successfully waited in line for that ride.
What?
I have waited in line 5 times, and all 5 times, someone has either had a bowel issue, like one of my kids, and so I had to leave, or the ride broke.
You've been able to ride it, though.
Twice, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's such a shame.
So I actually had some notes, because I think we're going to revisit a little bit about your visit. Because while you saw the picture, while John Paul and I were literally freezing our butts off, I was just thinking, it's such a good thing that Eric's not here. He would have not played after the second hole, and instead he's probably warming up to a nice Mickey Mouse-shaped pretzel right now.
Oh, I do have a story I'm going to share real quick. While I was in Disneyland, I went to pick up your pin. So I was buying it, and the guy was all nice, and he's like, "Oh, you need these credits, and He was being super nice. And then I brought out my phone to text my wife, and I have the Imperial pop socket. And so I held it up, and it was facing right to him. He could see the Imperial symbol, and he zipped right up and was very short with me after that. And just, I was like, well, thanks, have a great day. And he just nodded at me. Like, he completely changed his demeanor when he saw it.
When Black Spire Outpost first opened in Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland, they really tried to have all the characters be in character. And it kind of worked for the first several months, but then after, it kind of fizzled away.
Yeah.
And all the times that I've visited, it's kind of just been like a normal, okay, we're in Star Wars land. I've heard that they're trying to bring some of that back.
Mm.
So I wonder if that was just a little nod to, you know, seeing that you're, you know, part of the Empire or the New Republic supporter. And you probably bought that on the Rebel side of the land, is my guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So he was probably like, I don't know about this guy.
The Droid Depot.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wanted to try something a little bit different for the Slices Right this week. And this may work, or it may be a complete flop. I'm not sure which. So I'm going to run through a scenario. And this is kind of a hybrid choose your own adventure meets D&D.
Oh my goodness.
For both of you. I say hybrid because it is not part of any official rule set. And I kind of made up the mechanics. And this, because we're on a podcast, we're going to play loose and fast.
This is not the campaign you were looking for?
No.
But there is a Star Wars campaign you can play.
There is. And there's also like lots of materials to make it work with like 5e and stuff if D&D is your thing. This is none of those. So just roll with me on this.
All right.
It's pretty much an interactive narrative that I wanted to try for the Slices okay. Right.
I played the official whatever Pathfinder D&D at work one time, and I was a Wookiee. And we had stormtroopers chasing us, and I was like, is there a cabbage cart? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, can I just smash the cabbage cart and hit it back towards the stormtroopers? And they're like, sure, roll for damage. And I rolled a 20 so that the DM let me kill someone with a cabbage.
My cabbages!
My cabbages! Bam!
Kill the stormtrooper with the cabbage. It was amazing.
Okay, you are a Sith and apprentice. I'll let you two duke it out to decide which is which. But you find yourselves trapped in a collapsing Jedi temple, having been there snooping around for a lost Jedi artifact said to contain immense power. You look around the room that you're in and see a statue of Yoda, an odd pattern on one of the floor tiles, and an inscription on a plaque in Aurabesh. You're not sure what triggered the collapse, but you see no immediate exit. The door you came in is blocked by rubble from the collapse.
Rebel or rubble?
Rubble from the collapse. There's no rebel.
There's a rebel.
There's a rebel. There's a rebel in the rubble.
The door you came in is blocked by rubble from the collapse. What would you like to do?
Okay, do you want me to lead off on this since I'm
the
Sith Lord and you're the apprentice? Apprentice, go stand on the tile.
Okay.
Wow. Roll me that
d20. Yeah.
5.
Excellent.
As you walk over to check out the mysterious tile, it breaks from underneath you and you fall 10 feet down into a shaft and are now prone on the ground.
Okay.
Now I can get me one of those fancy new Skywalkers.
I stand up.
So we're going to hold on to you for a little bit while you're down there on the ground, kind of in pain. Mr. Sith Lord?
10 feet? I'd be fine. 10 feet is not that far to fall. That's like falling from your roof. Like putting up Christmas lights.
Don't keep provoking him. He'll put spikes.
You're
at
the telling
bottom
of the
me shaft.
That if you fell from off of your roof when you weren't expecting it onto your back, you would be just fine.
As an apprentice of a Sith Lord, yes, you'll be fine.
I have. I've fallen off my roof.
Cody,
before.
Answer me this: how many people have actually died by falling any distance in Star Wars?
It is now 50 feet and you're unconscious.
Fair.
That feels better.
That feels better. A much better distance.
John Paul.
Okay, so I still have the statue of Yoda.
Yep.
And the placard on the wall.
There's also the rubble blocking the door.
I'm thinking as a Sith Lord, I can possibly move this rubble with the Force.
Okay. Go ahead and try to remove the rubble. Give me a check.
11.
You channel your energy, but with the collapsing Jedi temple distracting you, and now your apprentice, unknowing his health status, you are unable to move enough rubble to clear an exit.
Sith Lord doesn't care about his apprentice ever. All right.
You still fail.
Fair enough.
Sure, I'm you don't
stuck.
Care about him, you
We're
still
stuck.
Fail.
Get your lazy bum back up here and help me get out of this temple.
I'm unconscious.
Yeah, he fell unconscious.
You think that's going to stop me from yelling at him?
Okay, fair. You get no response.
To be fair to the listeners, I'm not actually like this. I'm trying to get into character.
What would you like to do next, Sith Lord?
Well, I suppose we should try the statue next.
All right. Give me another roll of that dice, please.
It's a 9.
As you approach the statue, you notice that it is cold to the touch. And Yoda is holding what appears to be a holocron.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Do we know, what was the weather on this world?
Undetermined.
We don't know.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a question.
Well, I'm just wondering if it would be unusual for that to be cold or if it's like already cold.
I mean, significantly colder than like the room that
okay.
you're in.
I'm assuming that this is a cubical holocron rather than a tetrahedral holocron. Am I correct?
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? One of them's a Sith holocron and one of them's a Jedi holocron.
It's Yoda. Of course it's not going to be a Sith.
Hey, Yoda has a storied past. He's been around for 900 years. Maybe he dabbled. We don't know.
You also don't know what era this takes place in.
Oh, that's also true. I'm assuming it's going to be a Jedi holocron.
It is a Jedi holocron.
Okay, well, I'm taking that.
Okay, roll me another dice.
17.
Well done. Okay, so we're going to say that you were able to grab the holocron without any resistance.
Take that and, statue of Yoda.
And this is where kind of the poetic license needs to come into play, because we're going to say that you have a mobile reader that can see what's on the holocron.
A what?
Like a mobile reader.
Was it like an Amazon Kindle?
Basically, though, this holocron contains the coordinates to a list of Jedi bases. You aren't sure how many are still in operation, though. And additionally, you can tell that someone's been here recently because there's Imperial tracking residue just next to the holocron where you pulled it from.
What is tracking residue?
Again, roll with me, man.
Tracking
it
residue.
Does help to, it does kind of help narrow down the era here a little bit.
What's this? Oh, it's tracking residue. He tastes it.
This is the exact reason tracking why residue. Star Wars fans are ruining Star Wars.
Orc blood.
Sometimes it's just a fun story.
I don't
man.
Want our listeners to catch. I don't want to represent us as something we're not. I mean, this is what we do.
Okay. Right about the time that you finish up looking up what's on this holocron, your apprentice starts to come to at the bottom of this shaft.
I wake up and I look around.
All right. So you find yourself in an access shaft. So in the 50 feet drop that you took, you notice that there's actually a ladder. If you would have been more aware of, you could have climbed down, but okay. you were caught unawares. So you do have a way to go back up.
So there's plenty of light.
Yeah.
Be mindful of the force.
And surrounding you where you fell is a pathway that it's plenty bright and everything. You can tell like this is an access shaft. And on the wall, you see written in kind of with an arrow in kind of the common tongue that there's this direction to the hangar area.
Okay, I start heading that way.
As he heads to the hangar area, what do you want to do, Sith Lord?
Well, let's look at the plaque.
Okay, see if you can decipher it for me.
6.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to do it.
It's a Sithy kind of roll.
So you stand there in front of the plaque, and you try and think if you're like, what, and then all of a sudden you think you have it, and you know how sometimes when you're translating something, you write things down individually, and then you like read it over once again once you're all done, and then you're like, haha, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
It's like doing my taxes.
Yeah, so you interpreted the list as a bunch of Jedi platitudes, but it didn't make any sense, so you're sure you got it wrong.
Fair. I'm assuming Eric's going to abandon me now.
It sure sounds like that, unless you go and try and catch up.
I already left.
I don't know if he's alive, so like I have no way of knowing that he is abandoning me.
Okay, is there anything you want to do before I jump back over to his side?
No, go ahead. You can jump to him.
Okay.
His inevitable betrayal can be played out.
As you're moving down the pathway to the hangar area, do you approach quietly or are you acting like you own the place?
I mean, I fell 50 feet, so I'm probably limping slowly that direction.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me
A stealth check?
A stealth check. It's kind of funny because you guys don't have any stat blocks or anything. I kind of just have my own modifiers.
I want a giant Indiana Jones boulder to crush him. This 10. Is neat.
Okay, I want you to roll, keep your number and roll it again and tell me which is lower.
8.
8 was the lowest of your two. What was the first one you rolled?
10.
Okay. Not only did the crash on the floor make enough noise, but maybe you're grunting as you go just because you're hurt. I don't know.
You're whining.
But you approach the hangar and you can see your ship in the distance. But unfortunately, you also see two Jedi standing in front between your ship and where you are.
Bet you wish you'd brought me now.
They see you, by the way.
Okay. I don't try to hide. I'm obviously okay. Injured. I approach them, greet them kindly.
Tell me how this sounds.
Okay, I regret nothing losing this apprentice. Greet them kindly?
I kind of play it up and I'm like, oh, Jedi, finally. There's a Sith Lord back there. You got to go get him. He threw me down this pit.
You know, so these two Jedi are standing there with lightsabers in hand and they hear you kind of obviously coming across and they hear this from you. And they kind of just look at each other like, who is this guy? And they say, what is your name?
I don't know. I'll go with my handle, Zipbug.
Okay. I didn't know if you're going to be like, I am Darth Juju or something. I don't know.
Darth Juju? The worst Sith name ever.
Darth Juju is top of the list. That's awful.
I was named that by my master. It was not my pick. That's okay. What kind of guy he is.
You're just introducing yourself as Zipbug, not yeah. Darth Zipbug, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, is your intent here to play off that you are not a Sith?
My intent is just to an injured bystander that was taken on by a Sith Lord.
Yeah, okay.
Overpowered.
I'm just an injured bystander in a black cloak with a red lightsaber. Okay. No big deal.
They question you a bit, and one of the questions that sticks out that I want you to answer is, how could you have come across the Sith Lord and lived to tell the tale?
He used me as bait. He was worried about traps. He threw me down a 50-foot pit.
That's fair.
I'm obviously injured. I didn't come away unscathed.
That's not untrue.
So similar how a Sith and his apprentice work in pairs, these Jedi, you can tell one is probably the Padawan. And so the Padawan looks over to his master, and the master gives you this steely-eyed stare, and I want you to roll me a persuasion.
15.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Remarkably persuasive.
I told the truth.
He is very persuasive.
I didn't say any lies.
What do you intend to do now?
Not get killed by the Sith Lord.
Make it
off this planet.
You got to get survive. Me out of
here. Is this your ship?
It's my master's ship.
Oh!
Who is your master?
Darth Juju.
I hate you so much. Oh, if the Jedi don't kill you, I'm going to.
Yeah, at that, they're quite confused. They're like, he's obviously in league with the Sith that we are after, but he is not trying to deceive us by any means. And they're not quite sure how to handle this.
I want the Jedi Master to squint when he hears that name and say, Darth Juju. I hate that guy.
That guy.
That guy.
Oh, man. Okay. Are you going to try and like go to the ship? Or are you waiting? Are you stalling here? Help me understand the intention here.
I'm going to play up how injured I am and just like lean against the wall and kind of like slope down and just be sitting there.
Are you armed, Zipbug?
I have my arms.
They ignite their lightsaber so the blades come out. And they kind of hold it up. They're probably about 10 feet away from you at this point. And say again, be like, are you armed?
Technically, yes. But I have no quarrel with you.
Throw your weapon away.
Okay, so they're between me and the ship. Where do they, like, are they motioning back down towards the corridor that I came down? Or like, where do they want me to throw this?
Kind of in like front of them. Like,
you know, okay.
Toss it.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
What, this old thing? This lightsaber that I found and then drenched in blood to turn the kyber crystal red?
These are Jedi. They're not going to attack. That's what I am counting on, their docile nature.
The Padawan picks up the lightsaber and ignites it and sees... Give me a color.
I'll do dark purple just for because I can.
You have to leave this place immediately.
Okay. And I get on my ship and fly
yes,
away.
Yes, apprentice.
All right.
Let your cowardice fuel you. No, wait. No, that's supposed to be anger. Oh, my gosh.
I'm gone.
All right. Back to me. I've done the statue. It didn't work. I've tried to lift the rubble. It didn't work. I've got a holocron. I know what I have on the holocron. I like it. I tried the placard. It didn't work. So all that's left is the hole in the floor. So I'm going to peer down it.
You look down the hole in the floor and you see that it's an access shaft with a ladder going down to where your, unbeknownst to you, former apprentice was.
Excellent. Access the access shaft. I shall climb down.
Okay. As you get to the bottom, you see the clearing and you can see an obvious path where your apprentice went towards the hangar area.
And a lack of blood because he sprained his ankle and feels now that he has to give up on years of training. I will follow the access shaft and move down towards the...
Quietly or just normal?
No, I don't care.
Okay, then I'm not even going to have you bother rolling.
No.
As you get to the hangar, you are now greeted with two Jedi, one holding two lightsabers and one holding a single lightsaber. They command you to halt where you are and to drop your weapon.
Okay, and now this is what a Sith Lord would do. Say nothing, sneer angrily, draw lightsaber. I am force pulling that Padawan to me first. He is coming my way. He is going to get slashed.
I want you to roll 3 dice and add the total.
I've got 33 total.
As you force pull him, the Padawan, closer to you, he takes his one lightsaber and meets it with yours and takes the second lightsaber that he took from your apprentice and gives you a slice across your midsection.
Lovely.
What's your second action?
Well, I'll obviously stagger back in pain. Because that hurts. How mortal is this wound?
You are not gonna die if left untreated.
Fair.
Kind of like a graze.
Okay. Just a graze. It's fine. Decisions, decisions, decisions. I still think I'm on the correct path.
I don't know, man. I did not have your apprentice running away on a ship by himself on my card.
He is not my apprentice anymore. He is dead to me.
He told me to walk into an obvious trap. I have no regrets.
I could totally, like, give my card to this Jedi apprentice and try and recruit him. Hey, I'm in the market. You're pretty good with those two lightsabers. You want to keep that one and join me? No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Give me your action here.
Stagger back, regroup in pain, chuck rubble with left hand, and then attempt to remove red lightsaber from Padawan's possession with
its
lightsaber.
Purple.
Dark purple.
Red.
How are you removing it?
With my lightsaber attached to his hand.
Oh, okay.
So you're trying to slice his hand off.
Got it. Okay.
That's what a Sith Lord would do.
I'll give you a bonus point for creativity there. Give me another roll of your 3 dice.
I got 35 this time.
So we're going to say that you were just distracting enough with the rubble that you threw that the Padawan, you know, generally the younger Jedi are unable to, you know, put his attention to stopping the rock coming at his way, but also can't also fight with his lightsaber. So as you come down and swing, you cut his arm off, and now he is a one-armed man.
Excellent. What next?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to force pull the severed lightsaber. We will not go into the semantics of its color. I will then deploy it, so I am now armed with 2. But being somewhat injured, I am going to stab at the apprentice with both lightsabers, but it's a feint to attempt to flee. I'm going to feint with both lightsabers towards the Padawan in the hope of distracting the Jedi Master. The Padawan's going to be distracted. His hand just got cut off. So I'm going to go like I'm going to finish him off and hope that his master comes to defend him and then run essentially around him the other way, towards my ship.
You don't have a ship.
Towards the ship.
There is no ship. It's gone.
There is no ship?
Oh, he took it.
He stole my ship. The Jedi came in something. There's going to be a ship down there. I'm going to run down the corridor towards the ships.
Okay, that's fair. I just want to make sure that your ship is not there.
Yeah.
Roll me 2 dice for that.
When was the last time like a Sith actually took a ship that belonged to them to flee? 23.
Okay. So as you run to feint at the Padawan, the master definitely goes to defend his Padawan. And just as you kind of do like a juke to go around, the Jedi master kind of does a little spin move to go right in your way. to get another strike on your leg that is now severed on the ground. So you are one-legged.
Oh, man.
You got one last shot at this.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my loser Padawan just takes off. Like,
you ordered me to walk through an obvious
It is
trap.
My fault. It is not my fault that you are weak with the force and fell down the hole. That's on you.
I wasn't given a chance.
I'm going to tell you, this is going to probably be your last turn.
Oh, it's going to be my last turn. I have one freaking leg. What am I supposed to have? No ship. You will never learn how to save your girlfriend. That knowledge dies with me.
I don't care, Darth Juju.
Well, if this is the last go, let's go with gusto. I will fall upon the ground, so I'm prone, presumably, with one leg. Okay, you ready for this?
Yep.
I will say the word mercy while extending my right hand with the purple lightsaber in it, hurling it at the head of the Jedi Master while simultaneously casting Force Lightning with my other hand at his Padawan.
All right. Roll all three dice for me.
30. Stop rolling high numbers, man. Stop it.
That's a 2. That was a 2.
Yeah, but that's an 18. You're now going to tell me the method of my demise?
Unfortunately, yeah. So we're going to say your thrown lightsaber, the master is able to parry that.
Okay, that's fair.
The Force Lightning, though, strikes the Padawan head on. He is already agonizing in pain from his arm, and the Force Lightning hits him. He's dead.
Excellent. Now the Jedi Master in anger throws me down a pit, and somehow I survive.
No pits.
Oh, man.
It's as the parry of the original lightsaber comes in, it's more of like a single motion of a hitting this aside and swipe down.
Okay.
And finishes you off.
What's the likelihood of me rolling the ability to say totally worth it?
Give me a 20 on this and it is done.
Okay. Here we go. What do I get a Wilhelm scream for anything that's not a 20? cue the Wilhelm scream.
The apprentice gets away and is now the Sith Lord. And the original Sith Lord is dead.
You're going to be the worst Sith Lord.
I survived. That
did not go anywhere near what I thought it would. I tried thinking, I was like, I know this is going to be a bit railroady because we have to, because we don't have want to be here all night. I figured you would both, there's a shaft. Let's go down there together and take on two by two.
There wasn't
none of that.
There wasn't a shaft. There was a suspect looking tile on the ground.
That you were, I knew you were going to suspect. So here's the thing though.
So I'm going to flip the script on this. Eric, let's say that you had rolled higher and you were the Sith Master and I was the apprentice. What is the very first thing you would have done? You would have made me stand on that tile.
No, I would have investigated things. I am an investigative person.
He is. So to be fair, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. So why I had you check out the holocron and why I had you look at the plaque and everything, for every challenge, I kind of gave a plus or minus button. And that's what I used at the end battle to determine how successful or harder a challenge is going to be for you.
And then you just rolled dice, lights out.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, but you grabbed the holocron.
Yeah.
Eric did not take the holocron with him because he just got out of there.
He didn't.
So technically, he failed the mission.
Ah.
Because that holocron had the position of all of the Jedi bases that the Sith are trying to eradicate the Jedi, and that would have helped them tremendously on their mission, and you don't have that anymore.
I lived.
I've never seen anybody so nonplussed to lose their master in the whole life. The whole reason why Sith get...
They hate their masters.
They do hate their masters, so why do they keep them around?
To
learn their secrets, which now you don't know.
Usually, it's because the master has some hidden thing, like, to... Yeah. I left. I survived.
Well, thanks for indulging me. That was fun.
Birdie Bev, time for another Birdie Bev.
All right, we got a special Birdie Bev today. Now, I've decided that there are so many root beers out there. It is really hard to just stick to one per episode because they're just root beer after root beer after root beer. But when I saw this one, I couldn't keep it in my fridge for fear I was going to drink it without you guys.
Okay.
Well, let's try it out. Now, for those who are listeners and were not paying attention last time, it is in a brown paper bag. So Eric and I cannot see it. We are relying on taste alone.
I will tell you.
That is not diet.
It is diet.
It is diet.
It is a zero sugar. Mm. I love when you do the slurping sounds because Eric just hates it.
Yeah, it really, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
You do it and then I see Eric go. Ugh.
Yeah, it really, it gets,
I think it's funny that you thought you were pointing that out to me. That's been deliberate from day one.
Well, that's very nice of you. Yeah, I can I get some more?
Yeah.
I honestly couldn't. I was so distracted by the noise, I didn't enjoy the root beer at all.
All right, John Paul, what do you got for us?
Okay, I have this high. I like this. It's got a really nice vanilla flavor. It's smooth. There isn't any acid. And for a diet, the aftertaste is just the chemically medicine-y aftertaste we talk about. It's very... it's extremely hard to detect. I won't say it's completely absent, but it's hard to detect. I gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
Solid rating.
What did you scribble out there? Because it looked
an 8.0. So I bumped it up because I was just analyzing the aftertaste, and I was like, no, that finishes pleasantly as well. So I gave it an 8.5. It's good. It's not my favorite one we've tested, but it's darn close.
I gave it an 8. I like it. It's good. I would definitely try and get it again.
Yeah.
I also gave it an 8.5.
Oh, excellent. So we like this. We enjoy its characteristics.
Now the reveal. Mm. Now, the problem is this is going to be really hard to obtain.
Oh, man.
This is Echo Base Old Fashioned Root Beer.
Oh, my gosh. Echo Base. It's got a Tauntaun on it.
And Echo Base is no more.
It's so true. It's been destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We were lucky enough to get this one as is.
He made this label.
It's very obvious.
I just got it in my hands. It is clearly made the Echo Base Old Fashioned Root Beer. And it's not a Tauntaun. I misspoke. It's the Snow Beast. What is the Snow Beast called?
Oh, that's a good question that Luke had.
I'm sure it has a name. There's no way in the canon of Star Wars it hasn't been named. Fluffy. His name is Fluffy.
So what is this really?
Am I revealing the real?
Yes, please tell us what it really is.
We've had this before.
Oh, okay.
This is a mug zero sugar.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I think I rated it higher than mug zero sugar.
You know what it is. There is a name for it, and once I say it, you'll know what it is. Do you have any guesses?
Oh, gosh.
It's not Fluffy? I had it wrong.
Like, the name of what it is, not the name of the creature, right?
Yes? It's a...
Okay, yeah. It's a... trying to go through all of, like, the Star Wars creatures in my head, and thanks to you, John Paul, all I can hear is Tauntaun.
Or Minok.
And it's neither of those.
Nope.
Not a Minok.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with a W.
Wombat.
Close.
Warlax. Wombies. Walsles.
Wampa.
Wampa!
See, I told you, as soon as you saw it, it's like, oh, yeah.
It really is? It's a wampa?
Yeah, wampa.
Oh.
Okay. Now, that was an interesting test in multiple ways because we've had this root beer before. I just wanted to do a fun branded echo-based
theme. I think I only rated it like a 7.5.
Yeah, but... knowing beforehand, we definitely had different ratings.
The Olipop and some of the other all-natural diet sodas we have has really shifted the scale because when you don't have that chemical flavor, it really puts it on a different level.
The battery acid lowered the bar a bit.
Yeah. So for John Paul, you originally rated Mug Zero Sugar as a 6. I gave it a 7. Eric gave it a 6.
It's way better than
that. It's way better than that.
Way it's delicious. Better. It's lovely.
Yeah, I'm glad we did it this way. That's fun.
But I think I move that we strike the old ratings and replace them with the new ratings.
It's time for Talk Nerdy to Me. Today we have, of course, a Star Wars themed Talk Nerdy to Me. So I've thought of a couple of different questions for this, but I ended up on, if you could pick anyone from the Star Wars universe to play with as your fourth in golf, who would it be and why? You're in a tournament and all of you are in a scramble.
Okay, so we want to...
Yeah, you're working together.
What about...
So my question was like, if I picked like, you know, Darth Vader, is he just going to kill me because I did a bad shot?
Could we...
He might.
Could we expand this to be a foursome so we could pick three characters to pair together to be with us?
I think he was figuring it's us threesome plus a fourth.
Yes.
Plus a fourth.
Who's our fourth?
Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. Because you and I will not agree on this.
Well, that's okay. You have your answer. I have mine and Eric has his. We want to know who's the fourth to join with us.
All right.
And the wrong answer is Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, always. Obviously. There's a lot of wrong answers.
3PO is the wrong answer. His range of motion. John has a better golf swing than 3PO.
He could read putts for you.
Maybe.
He's going to give me the odds on me leaving it short, though, every time.
For me, it would be K2SO.
That's a good one.
Because he's super strong. He's going to know how to hit a ball and hit it the correct way every time. And to me, precision in golf is more important than just absolute power. If you're able to get into the fairway with a good distance and plan very well, you're going to win.
I feel like one of the problems of having him in our group of us three is that he would just be demoralizing to us every time. He'd be like, you know you're going to hit a horrible shot, right? The odds are very high of you not doing what you're supposed to do. Okay, that's a fair one. are force powers allowed on the golf course?
Yes. Do you know what your odds are of making a triple bogey on this hole? They're high. They're really high.
John Paul, who's yours?
I will give you my two, and one of them's going to be fairly obvious, and one's going to be controversial.
But okay,
I'll give you the obvious one first. We're going to go Obi-Wan Kenobi because he's a delightful human being, and he has the Force, so we can take advantage of his good shots. But we can still banter with him and have a good time.
That's fair.
So I'm enjoying being with him, and that would be great.
What do you feel about sand?
He would be very good out of the sand. Super dedicated. He would commit to every shot. He would. And he could give you coaching. Do you know how good he'd be coaching you on the golf course? Can you imagine having Obi-Wan Kenobi following you around the golf course, giving you, you know, just like mental game advice.
My rangefinder says that we're 125 out. Trust your instincts.
Turn off the rangefinder and trust your instincts.
Don't read the slope rating. Trust your instincts.
Do you know what else he'd do? He'd just sit there and he'd just shake his head and he'd be like, nope, club up and hit it smooth.
All right, who's your second?
My second one is going to be controversial because no force power is involved. I just love Wedge Antilles. I have to think that Wedge Antilles would just be a really cool guy to go golfing with. And so if I didn't care about score at all, I'm going golfing with Wedge.
I'm surprised you didn't do...
No, the opportunity. Nice shot, Wedge. I'd say it a million times. I think this is a wedge from 19 feet. You know? Come on. There's so much good pun to be had out of golfing with Wedge Antilles. Come on.
Even better... If you're in a bunker and you see an anthill, you'd be like, hey, I think I need a wedge, anthills.
Nice shooting, Wedge. Nice shot, Wedge.
He would hate you guys.
No, Wedge can't hate anybody.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question. Is this a scramble where like competitively trying to win, or is this like a charity scramble for fun?
We're trying to win.
I don't know why this is so difficult for me, because I feel like it's cliche to give an answer like Vader, because I feel like he would not accept a loss.
Cody's going to choose a sand person.
But he
would be horrible out of the bunkers. He would hate the sand.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he'd be a powerhouse, but he lacks control. That's his big thing.
Well, but then he would just use the Force, you know, so.
But that is his whole thing, is he lacks control because he's just so angry all the time.
Yeah, but Vader's got to be the master of the foot wedge. I'm gonna just kick this ball over here. It's not like anybody's gonna tell me
hey,
I can't.
That guy cheated.
I also think he'd be terrible on putting because he just
it's too stiff.
Yeah, well, and he'd power through it. He'd hit it so hard, it'd just be back and forth.
Yeah, I just think no.
We gotta do it. Miss the putt. Just leave it low on the short side.
No.
You know that time when you used your putter and whacked your ball because you were sick of it?
Yeah.
He'd be like, you failed me for the last time, and throw the ball into the pool.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I was like, he'd probably
kill us.
The reason why I would choose someone like Vader is just to be on his team. Like, if we're playing in a scramble tournament and he's on somebody else's team, we're in trouble.
Well, he'd kill everyone that he's playing with as well.
So he'd wait for the tournament to be over and just slaughter everyone and take the trophy.
Yeah.
But I actually was thinking like Boba would be pretty decent.
Oh, Boba would be interesting.
Pre-Book of Boba Fett, like in his
prime.
In his prime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because like his targeting and...
He's very precise.
Very precise.
Okay. I do have to just circle back though on the image of a sand person just catching one on the screws and it going dead down the middle of the fairway and hoisting the driver above the...
They would be good out of the sand.
They would.
That's a good question.
All right. I have a follow-up question that we can just do quickly.
Yep.
What planet do you think would have the most beautiful golf course? I would think that Coruscant would have some pretty...
It's all city.
No.
But they have beautiful palaces and stuff. They could build high-rise...
I'm going Naboo.
Naboo?
Naboo would be pretty...
Oh my gosh. A water course by the beach in Naboo. Apple blossoms. Just, yeah.
I got two.
Okay.
Scarif.
Okay.
It's considered a tropical paradise.
Okay.
Isn't it a little too tropical though?
I mean,
it'd be hot. You'd struggle on Scarif, my friend.
Yeah.
The problem is it's also controlled by the Empire, so I don't know if you're going to get out there on the course.
I would.
I don't think the Empire cared much about it after they decided to nuke half of it.
Yeah. So Scarif. The other one is, I do think a forest course on the forest moon of Endor would be fun.
We have the chance. We can do that in real life.
Oh,
we can
go golf. The moon of Endor would be beautiful.
We can golf the moons of Endor. Golf course exists.
So that kind of stems from a question of like ocean golf versus forest golf. Mm. And my answer is just yes.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Just as a shout out to Phineas and Ferb. Wait. The value of my golf course on Alderaan is plummeting. What? Zero. What's in the bag? Butter, what's in the bag? Butter, what's in the bag? Butter, what's in the bag? All right, it's time for another segment of What's in the Bag, but we're going to change it up a little bit today and talk a little bit of Star Wars, and also we're going to switch it up by it's not going to be what's in the bag, it's going to be what's on the bag. We are huge nerds and we love Star Wars, and so we have some decorations, patches and ball marks and towels and things, and many of them are Star Wars themed. So let's talk about it. So Cody, let's go over to you. What do you got to tell us about what's on the bag?
Yeah, so my bag kind of has like an orange trim and gray motif. It is not a mistake that I chose that color scheme because it reminds me of the Rebel colors a bit.
Now, be honest with me. If you could dress as a Rebel pilot, would you do it? Like,
if I could, why can't I?
I love that costume. I love that outfit.
There's nothing stopping
it. I love that outfit.
We've talked about this internally. Maybe, I don't know if we've ever brought it up on the show, but I definitely would fall in line with the Rebellion. That is my jam. Eric is Empire through his core.
Yep.
He likes...
First Order as well.
He likes to dress sharp. Yep. He likes order and rules. And like that's just... He likes how things organized. And
I'm nodding.
You are...
Everything
he says. Cody is Rebel...
I am a Rebel all
Rebel
the way
scum
through.
Scoundrel. And I'm calling Eric just hardcore Empire. I think I fall into the mystics. I think I'm a Jedi, quiet, reserved, maybe Age of the Old Republic kind of figure.
So I wouldn't say that I'm Empire in the we need to squash all rebellion kind of thing, but more like a we need order.
In terms of like choosing a way of life, I see you could be like, well, yeah, we follow the order because look at our citizenship and everything that we have with the, we need the order to establish the Empire. I don't know.
Laws. I follow the laws.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, sorry. Going back to my golf bag, the color scheme of the Rebels sticks out to me because I love that orange outline along with kind of like the other grays and blacks.
Mm-hmm.
I have on my golf bag a Rebel patch.
We have the Rogue Squadron.
We all have it.
Oh, yeah. I saw this at Disneyland on a trip a couple of years back. And I had to get it for all of us, much to Eric's chagrin. But it says Rogue Squadron with an X-Wing with that orange kind of boldness popping out. That's on my golf bag.
And we all proudly have that on our bags.
We do.
Yes.
And we also all drive Rogues.
Nissan Rogues.
Nissan Rogues.
So when we go on trips and we're all in our various cars, we call ourselves the Rogue Squadron. That's a thing.
We go on rogue trips.
Additionally, on my golf bag, I have a couple of additional patches. A patch I designed has kind of a mock $100 bill with a Ben Franklin on it. And it says, you know, it's a little play on the penny saved as a penny earned. It's a par saved as a par earned.
Nice.
I think we need to trademark that.
Mm-hmm.
If we can.
I love it.
Patent pending.
I'd also like to point out that Cody's golf bag is a very cool bag in and of itself. Do you want to talk a little bit about the bag? Because it's nifty.
Sure. I mean, the coolest thing about the bag is it's got individual compartments for each of the clubs on the top where the iron, all of the irons kind of have an individual slot that kind of surround the perimeter of the top of the bag. And then there's this one additional slot for the putter. And then in the middle is where my driver and woods can go. And so I always know where the exact club that I want is. I also have a Kingdom Hearts patch on my golf club with the Kingdom Hearts heart.
So for me, I also have the Rogue Squadron. And then I have the... I used to have the par earned as a par saved, but for some reason mine didn't stick and it came off. And then I have, ironically enough, the Jedi symbol as a from a Disney pin that I have that on there too. My bag is white, black, and red, but mostly white and red. It's like white with red trim. And it's an EA Eagle bag. And it also has individual compartments, and it has little slots that I can put my clubs in, and the shafts kind of, it's like rubbery, so they kind of stick in, and so they don't jingle around as much. The thing that's different about my bag is that it actually has the kickstands, and so I can lean my bag, whereas Cody and John Paul don't have that.
Yeah, ours are both cart bags, and yours is a stand bag. I do have to say that I'm often jealous of Eric's golf bag because it is made of helium. It weighs nothing. It is the lightest golf bag I have ever seen.
I really like my bag.
Fabulous.
I would buy it again.
Well, my golf bag is a blue one, and like Cody's, it has individual notches. It's not a stand bag. It's a cart bag. It's quite tall because the notches go all the way up to the heads of the clubs. So it is a tall bag. It's quite heavy, but it has like 9 million pockets, and so I'm never without stuff. I will point out that on the golf course, and I don't resent this, it does make me laugh, though, is that I feel like I'm a Costco, and that sometimes you guys are a little bit moochy about the stuff that's in my bag. Like, I carry Tylenol. I eat about half of my Tylenol. I share the other half with other people who didn't bring Tylenol. I'm the one who brings sunscreen, and everybody borrows it.
You guys use all my sunscreen. I have to buy more.
I bring a lot of snacks that people share, which is great, and I'm fine with it, but that's why I need 9 million pockets. And then frequently we'll be out, and it'll look like it's going to be raining, and you guys will be like, oh, I didn't bring a jacket. I've got rain layers and golf gloves and everything in my bag.
We have never once.
I've never asked you for a rain layer. First of all,
I'm not saying you asked me for a rain layer. I'm saying that last time we played a round, it looked like rain. And I said, oh, it's no problem. I have a rain layer. And you're like, oh, I didn't bring one. And you're like, oh, I didn't bring one.
And it didn't rain.
One of us had a rain jacket, but it wasn't a rain layer.
It was a cotton hoodie, which would have absorbed the cloud.
It would have been fine.
So mooching is just the fact that you have these
I love his response to be like, I'm totally fine with it, but you guys keep taking my stuff, but I'm fine with it.
But we didn't actually take
If I wasn't fine with it, I wouldn't let you borrow it. Okay, but anyway, as far as patches go on this gigantic bag of mine, I too have the Rogue Squadron patch. I also have the par saved as a par earned patch. But I also have a wonderful towel on there that's a Star Wars themed towel. It says, may the course be with you. And then I have a lovely pink flamingo towel that Eric bought me. And then I have a lovely towel that Cody bought me that says, swing, lose ball, swear, repeat.
Did I buy that for you?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's a great towel.
That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, hold on. Going back to the stealing your snacks, when we were golfing a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
And you're like, hey, you want some snacks? You offered preemptively. Which
yeah,
I was
we never. I
for.
Always do.
Oh, you do. But I grabbed the bag and I was like, why is there a notch in this that's already open? you looked at me. He looked, this is when I think you were you didn't go with us. He looked at me and he's like, oh, that's to prime the staleness on them to get them stale before we open the bag.
It was Coke bottles.
You preemptively start the staling process.
I've never made it a secret that that's my favorite golfing snack.
I know, but I thought that you just kind of like, when you opened a bag, you kind of left them for like the next week. I didn't
Excuse
think
me.
You bought it and then opened it and
Excuse
be like,
Excuse me,
staling,
I think you'll
please.
Call. I think you'll find that the term for that is mise en poire.
And to be fair, I usually take one because you offer, but I won't take one just because I want one. They're a little too stale for me, so I'm taking them out of kindness.
I'm always happy to share.
All right, that does it for another episode of For the Record. Thanks for listening today. Feel free to follow us on our socials. We're on Blue Sky and Instagram. Listen to us on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple, or you can grab the feed directly from our website.
And remember, may the course be with you.
Always.